Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Hey friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivy podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm super thrilled that you're here with me today. Every week, I invite a girlfriend to join me on the show, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Today is the very last episode of 2016, and I am again so very thankful that you're here with me. Some of you are new, and you've only listened to a few episodes, and some of you have heard every single one that we put out this year in 2016. No matter if this is your first episode, your fifth, or your 121st episode, I'm glad that you're joining us today. This year, the Happy Hour is full of fabulous guests joining me each week to chat about life. Plus, we had 3 Happy Hour live events, and we also had a handful of Happy Hour on the road events. Next year, we of course have more fabulous guests scheduled for you. We have a few more Happy Hour live events at my house, and hopefully we're going to get in some more on the road events. One event that is happening very soon is a night where I'm partnering with Polished Austin for a happy hour night. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's right here in Austin. So if you're in Austin or close to Austin, you should check this out. Tickets are available now, and you can head on over to jamieivy.com/events for more information. I want to thank one of our sponsors and partners for today's show, and that is the book Out of the Spin Cycle, Devotions to Lighten Your Motherload by Jen Hatmaker. Following Jesus shouldn't just be one more thing on our to-do list, and Jen helps us understand through 40 devotions that creating space and time for focusing on our relationship with God is just as important as making sure our kids eat breakfast and we get them to school on time. Guys, I read this book when it first came out several years ago, and I loved it. Revell has reissued this book this fall with a brand new cover. It is so perfect for you as a mama to put on your nightstand and read a couple chapters every night before you go to bed, or to give that girlfriend as just a gift to say, welcome to 2017. You can find this book online at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Guys, you're listening to episode number 121 with Erin Lochner. Erin is a blogger and a speaker and a wife and a mama to 2, and she is releasing her very first book this January. She's the author of Chasing Slow and founder of Design for Mankind. Erin has been blogging and speaking for more than a decade. Today, we chat about her new book, Chasing Slow, that I read this fall when I was in Mexico. And I even read an excerpt from the book for you all to hear. We also discuss a few things that have been pretty heavy on my heart lately, and that's where I'm struggling with finding approval from so many different things that don't even matter. I love chatting with her, and I know that you're going to love her as well. She is so precious, and I have a feeling that she is just as precious in real life, which I hope I get to meet her in real life soon. Guys, if you want to send us a message about anything from the show, we'd love to hear from you. Find us over on Twitter. My handle is @Jamie_Ivy, and Erin is @Erin Lochner. As usual, you can always find me on Instagram, which is my favorite place to hang out, and I'm just @Jamie Ivy over there. Guys, here is my conversation with Erin. Hey, Erin, welcome to the Happy Hour.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy to have you. And let me tell you that I have heard your name for a while. And then I got your book in the mail and I devoured it in Mexico. And so it is like super exciting for me to chat with you.
Mexico is the best place to read that book.
Mexico is the best place to read that book. It was great on the beach.
On the beach. Yes.
Devouring your words about chasing slow as I'm doing nothing on the beach but reading and being slow.
Oh, well done. Nice.
I know.
Well,
Mexico.
Thank you.
Mexico for me is like I call it my happy place. And I don't know if you have one of those, but it's just a place where I don't do anything but read and eat and sleep.
Oh, that's my sofa, Jamie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've got one of those.
You have it in your house. That's awesome. You don't have to go anywhere.
I have two of those, actually. But no, that's okay. So do you go to Mexico all the time, like often?
Well, Aaron and I try to get away. We go a handful. I mean, like once a year. Yes. Yes. We try to do that for sure. Yeah. And so, and he is very kind. He loves me dearly because the beach is not his favorite place.
Okay. Is he like a snow mountain person?
He is just an anti-sun person.
Oh, I can't relate. Yeah, my husband's the same way. He's ginger, and I get it.
Yeah, so a lot of, I mean, almost, I can think of maybe 10 minutes that we laid on the beach together for an entire week. Because he would be, like, back in the back in a cabana, like, writing or reading.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm, like, moving my chair every 10 minutes to get the most sun.
Yeah, me too. Also, I feel like, I don't know if your husband is this way, but Ken is too, he's not even a hyperactive person, but it's like, if you make him lay down, he gets all antsy. So like,
he'll be still.
You want to go play frisbee? You want to play football? You want to go get a drink? You want to? And I'm like, no, I want to sit and read my book.
See, Aaron, my sofa. Aaron's like that at home. I'm like, hey, let's just sit down and like maybe drink a cup of coffee on the front porch after the kids get to school. He's like, man, there's so much to do. I'm like, but just give me 5 minutes. And he's like, I don't know.
He's okay, like, well, he needs to read this book.
Exactly. You're right. You're right.
Which, okay, time out. Congrats on 500,000 downloads.
Oh, my gosh. You're so nice.
That's amazing.
It's been such this happy hour. I say this all the time. It's my most favorite job I've ever had. But it has been such a fun ride. And yes, in November, we hit 500,000 downloads. I'm anxious to see what December holds because, you know, it's the holidays and people kind of. They kind of forget to listen to things, you know, and it's the end of the month, whatever. So, but yeah, it's crazy, right?
It's not crazy to me. I love your podcast.
Oh,
I love
you're so kind.
Just, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but it's always good.
You're sweet. You know who I think, are you friends with Haley Morgan?
Yeah.
I think she's the one that told me about you. I think, maybe. And
she's
then,
darling.
Is your publisher Zondervan? Yep. I was talking with some Zondervan people earlier in the year, and they're like, you know who you need to have on your show? We have this book coming out with a girl named Erin Lochner, and you would really like her. So here we are. And I got your book in the mail. But here's the thing, Erin. Okay, so the book comes out. This show is airing. It's December 28th. Your book comes out. Is it January 17th? Something like that?
10th.
But January 10th.
It's confusing because it's 2017. So
that's exactly true.
The same thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, January 10th. So, you know, in... I don't know, 13 days it's coming out, but I have a paperback copy. I have an advanced reader copy, but I see online that this book is going to be hardback and beautiful.
It's so pretty. There's like just one copy in existence. No, that's not true. There's maybe like five, but the rest are like still coming. And so I have one of those prized copies and I'm like hoarding it. It's so pretty.
It feels like from what I can imagine, because I have a paperback copy, but what I can imagine this in hardback and in color is that it's going to be a cross between like memoir / tape coffee table book.
Yeah. I can't really understand it either. And that was really okay. Well, listen, you're writing a book, right?
I am, yes.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait to read that book. How's it going, by the way?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's like every day I say I should write a lot of words today. And then I write a little bit of words. And then I think this is awful. I just read Erin's book. Her book's awesome. What am I doing? You know what I mean? All the things you do. But anyhow.
Well, and you have a hard job because you have to read books while you're writing a book. And I feel like you just can't do them at the same time because
it's
always
hard.
Like that stuff gets in.
Yes. It's so hard. I was just telling someone the other day, I was like, you know what? I need to quit reading nonfiction books while I'm writing. But it's hard because it's part of my job.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah. Mm. Okay. So, but your book, beautiful.
Okay. Yes. Sorry. So it was really hard because, listen, the book that I thought I was going to write was about like how slow living was the best way and the way to go. Mm-hmm. And like everybody needs to just slow down their lives and calm down a lot. And which is true a little, but then what happened was I'm sure you can relate. I started actually writing that book and then it was hard work and I was really stressed out the whole time. And like life felt really fast because I was getting takeout from my family because I needed to write a couple more paragraphs. You know, I tried to write the book in 6 months, which was just problem number one.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt really hypocritical and I'm like, well, you know what? Slow living does not just need to be another standard that we're like benchmarking ourselves mm-hmm. on. Otherwise we're chasing slow just as fast as we're chasing fast.
Yeah.
And where is that going to end up? You know what I mean? So when I was thinking about the format, I thought it was going to be this gorgeous, like, coffee table slowing. And then it just felt completely unrelatable because I'm like, well, this doesn't feel like my life anymore. So there is some pretty to it. Yeah. But the words, I think, are raw enough to balance it, hopefully.
It's so true. You know, even when you were just talking about that, I was skimming through your book this morning about things that I had underlined. And one of the things here is what you wrote. You said, I do not yet realize that without grace, pursuing the slow life is just as exhausting as pursuing the fast one. Without grace, minimalism is another metric for perfection. And I thought,
yes.
I was like so thankful to read that. You know, when you write that, we're already halfway into the book, you know. And I was like thankful when I read that, because I thought, slowing down, it's a concept that we all want, right? We're all like, man, mm-hmm. December. And I even said that at the beginning of December. I'm like, I'm not going to live a fast December. I'm going to live a slow December. And, you know, we're recording this on December 1st. So it's yet to be determined how I lived. But my thought process when I was reading this was, when I read that paragraph, I was like, I'm so thankful for that, because we need grace in our life when we're choosing to slow down as well.
We do, because you know what? I think there's a fine line between changing our life and manipulating our life. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're so, as a culture, we're so obsessed with making these grand life sweeping changes. Like, mm-hmm. hello, KonMari. You know what I mean? I mean, we just think, okay, well, if we just get our wardrobe 100% cleaned out and take away everything that doesn't spark joy, which
mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, my dog dish doesn't
right.
spark joy necessarily, yeah. but I gotta mm-hmm. have a dog dish. And I just, I think it's a dangerous place, and it, because it feels like you're still like that elusive happiness is just around the corner. And I also really firmly believe that, I think we have two options. We can try to change our life, or we can try to allow life to change us. And I would really, frankly, rather do the latter. I want to learn from my life. I want to, mm-hmm. you know, I want to let it shape me, and not in a way that I succumb to the pressures of the world, but in a way that at the end I've learned something rather than just fighting it, you know?
Yeah. You talk about like one thing you talk about with motherhood too, when motherhood hit you for the first time. I mean, how old is B? Four?
Four and a half. Yeah.
Four and a half. So when motherhood hit you for the first time, you talk about that as well, as like feeling like everything's out of control. And so that the chaos, actually, you just had to surrender to it, but it didn't mean you were losing control.
Yes. The opposite of control, I always thought, was chaos.
Like, yes. But you
it's
found
surrender.
Right.
Yeah. That's the opposite. And it's a great place to be, because it's totally a mindset shift, and that you, there are a lot of lies that you just refuse to believe. One of which is that, what I do today is dictating the entire trajectory of my life, because I don't know that that's true either. I think we need to make good decisions, and we need to practice self-control and gentleness and kindness to ourselves. Yes. But at the end of the day, are we becoming so focused on, changing our lives and changing our surroundings that we're missing, the lessons that are kind of seeping in there when things kind of go insane, mm-hmm. like when our babies are freaking out. We just adopted a newborn,
mm-hmm.
and we had just turned in our paperwork, and we got the call that there was a baby, a safe haven baby for us. And so we were completely ill prepared. We thought it was going to be a good, you know, 2 to 4 year wait.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, overnight baby. And it was one of those, it was the first time that I felt, wow, writing this book really did actually change me, because I embraced it instead of totally freaked out. I freaked out also, for sure.
For sure, right.
But there was a little bit of, and part of that is second baby, but there mm-hmm. was a little bit of like, I'm going to learn from this. This is going to be amazing. And this mm-hmm. actually isn't even about me. I mean, surprise, surprise.
Hello.
Yeah.
And you're going to learn. And here we go. You know,
yeah.
I was thinking, when I think about these conversations, and I feel like I have these conversations a lot with women, and I always wonder to myself, did my mom have these conversations with her girlfriends?
Right?
You know what I mean? Like, was there always this constant need of, I'm going to slow down this month, or I'm going to pull back, or I'm going to do more, or I'm going to, were these conversations? And sometimes I think to myself that if I lived in a world where there was, and social media is amazing. Hello, half my job is built on it. So I'm no, mm-hmm. by means, no means bashing social media. But for some reason, I think that social media kind of adds to the, well, she's slowing down and that must bring her happiness. So I think I need to do that. Or she's doing this and she looks really happy. Maybe that's what's going to do it for me. It's kind of like what you're saying, like always looking for that thing to make us happy and fulfill us. But sometimes it's not really there.
No, it's like you think there's a secret that everybody else knows that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's why everybody has their stuff together, which really no one has together. We know that by now. But, you know, I think our moms were probably just busy actually doing things with their hand. Their hands were full. You know, they weren't scrolling and like thumbing mindlessly through mm-hmm. like stuff. They mm-hmm. were doing stuff. And I think that's the big difference. I feel like we are kind of an observational culture, and our parents' generation, they were participatory culture. You know, they were like, there was no other option. Yeah. You just had to get it done.
Right. And you actually didn't know what the mom in Minnesota was doing. If
Which,
you lived in Texas.
It's so healthy.
You know what like, I mean? Like, you just didn't know. I didn't know that. And so I think about that sometimes. And I think, am I contributing to this? Like, you know, am I breeding this for other people by letting people into my life? You know what I'm saying? There's this mm-hmm. tension there of, I'm letting you into my world because I do a lot of my work on social media and with my podcast and all kinds of stuff. I let you into my world, but am I creating a breeding ground for you thinking that my world is awesome, I have it all put together, when that's not true at all?
I know.
It's the opposite from true. Like, and I hope that also that I'm honest. I know I'm honest on my show for sure. Mm-hmm. But Instagram is just, this seems like a happy moment. I'll tell you about it. I don't tell you about when I screamed at my kids last night. Uh-huh. That's not on Instagram.
Right.
You know?
I think I am completely tracking with you. And I think that's the hardest part of this job is you mm-hmm. want to be a good steward of it and you want to be honest. And at the same time, I am not a person that I don't know. I feel like I have a weird job for my personality because I'm very private. And I also don't give weight to negativity ever in my real life. I'm such a pacifist and kind of almost to the point where I ignore problems of any sort.
You're like, if I don't think about it, it doesn't really exist.
It's incredibly unhealthy. but it's the reality that I live in. And my husband is always like, yeah, this is like past the point of optimism. This is just a total denial.
Right.
Which whatever, it's me. But, I think about that a lot because I always think about, I always go back to Adam and Eve and how just they bought into the lie that more knowledge would somehow be better than what they had. And the knowledge of good and evil would be a trade-off. And I think that's what we do when we're following the mom in Minnesota and when mm-hmm. we're following. And it's not, I think it takes, I'm not saying it's bad, but I think it takes a lot of responsibility and a lot of mind checks. Like, I really don't need to know what you're doing in Minnesota. And for that, I mean, really, I'm pretty this is terrible. I am a little jaded by the internet in that way. And I put a ton of limits on it. I'm not online often.
What
I feel
limits
like I
do you
do
put?
Other stuff.
I know. Like, tell us what limits you put.
Well, so I used to just compartmentalize it where I would, this was before the newborn came, but my husband works from home also. So I would sneak out of the house at like 4:30 in the morning. My friends own this cute little coffee shop and they give me the keys. And so I open it and start the coffees. And
that's something that only happens in a small town. You live in a small town, right? Yes.
I totally live in a small town. It's the best. And so I just sit in the corner table and I write, and that is my internet place. It's almost like I pretend I don't have internet at home at all. Because then when I'm home, then I take like, so I'll do that from like 5 to 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then I'll take a yoga break and then I go home and I'm a mom for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And I will check. I mean, I'll like Google a recipe and stuff. But for me, I have to be in the right frame of mind to receive the internet. And I almost never am at home. When I'm home, I'm home. I just want to be like with my people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care what you're doing.
Which is great.
Which is so mean.
No, it's not. It's not mean. It's great. It's how we used to live, Erin. You're like living how we lived when we were in 1996, when I was in high school. I didn't know what anybody else in high school was doing except for my friends at my school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know what anyone did with their day.
Totally. Which, why was that bad? I mean, because then I feel like there's a fine line. You don't want to live in your own bubble. But I also feel like there is something that happens when you are getting the information that you're not prepared for and ready for, that your heart, the soil, I think, in your soul has not been properly mm-hmm. tilled to receive. And it feels very unorganic to me to just be like receiving these fire hoses of information on Twitter or from all of these opinions all over the world that we're not really planted in either. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think like I've been thinking a lot about social media lately. I'm about to like make some changes on Facebook. And so it's all in like on my brain. That's why I love these conversations. Mm-hmm. But I also always come back to, you know, social media is not inherently bad. It's not going anywhere. It actually helps me out a lot in my work. So for me, it's a constant thing of it's a discipline that I didn't have to work on, you know, 12 years ago. And so it's this new discipline that I think we have to work on and have to work on in our own personal lives. And so some days I do awesome at it. Other days I fail miserably, you know, so I'm just kind of like, we're all trying to like find our little way and what works for us. But I tell you what is a good like marker for me. If my mood alters or changes either a lot, either way, awesome or bad, based on what I'm reading online, particularly about myself, you know?
Yeah.
That's when I know, I think we need to step back, because whatever these people are saying about you, if they're saying amazing things or they're saying we hate you, like they're not the determiner of who you are. You know what I mean?
That's a wonderful gauge. Yeah.
And because so, then yes, because I struggle with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think everyone does. And I think that's such a clear sign that you're placing your identity in some form in those voices.
Oh, completely.
And you can't control those voices. So that essentially you're saying, here you go. Here's mm-hmm. my self-worth.
Yes.
Please be gentle. But of course you're not going to be.
Right.
You know, like,
or please tell me awesome things. You know, like, why do I need that from a stranger online? And I had a real, I don't know if you've had these moments, but I had a conversation with my husband the other day in the kitchen. I could cry about it right now because it was one of those moments that I think I'll never forget, because I was talking to him about something and I was frustrated about something that someone had said about me, to me. And he looked at me it's almost like he grabbed my arms. I don't think he really did, but I felt like that. Like, you know, like look at me in the eyes when I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
And he said, Jamie, I've been noticing something about you lately is that you're looking for approval from a lot of people that don't matter.
Mm.
And I just stood there. Like, I didn't say anything. My eyes, you know, when your eyes, the tears just like,
that's
they just show up.
My eyes water.
Yes. Yeah. They just show up and it's like, they don't know if they should fall out or just stay there. And I'm just looking at him and he's saying this to me and he's like, well, you're not saying anything. And I'm like, I don't have anything to say because I'm not going to argue with you. If you see this in me, then I'm not going to say, I don't believe you, but it's hard to hear. And I just remember thinking like a day later, at first I was kind of a little bit mad. And then a day later I thought, he's so right. Like, he's so right. And he's been seeing this in me and no one has said anything. And here I am just like gaining approval left and right from people who don't matter.
Mm. Oh, man.
It was a hard conversation, but it's one I'll never forget.
Well, and you received that really well. I do the same. And like, I'm not saying I do the same and that I receive it well, but it takes me about a day.
Yes.
Or sometimes 2 days.
Yeah.
Not much longer, but to be able to be like, shoot, he was right.
I know.
Now I'm just at the point where I'm just skipping to the he was right part because he's always right, which is
and
so
it's
frustrating.
Like, for someone that's so close to you and that you live with and they see you and they love you and they're for you and they believe in, you know, like he's my biggest fan. So why is he going to lie to me?
I know.
It just felt like, and I think it was like the Holy Spirit, like, he's right. Like, this is true.
What a good word.
Oh, it was so good. But so I've been like sitting in that a lot, you know, of like, man, where am I finding my approval? Because you and I both have jobs that kind of depend on people not liking us, if that is a weird way to say, but buying books, listening to podcasts. You know what I mean? It's this weird world. So I just want to be authentic and real and say my approval doesn't come from anybody but God. So there.
Uh-huh. And I think you have a great balance in that one of the first things you said was that you were so grateful for it. I have been to the place where I can't even admit that omit the gratitude in it, which is so sad because it is, it's my job. And I actually love it. I have the coolest, I hate calling them readers, but like, you know, there are all those catchphrases of what to call the people that like log onto your blog, whatever, but they're the coolest people. And I love their advice and wisdom. And I feel like they're mentors to me. And I just,
it's a special place.
It's a really special place. And sometimes I get to the point where I can't even be grateful for that. And then it's like, oh, okay, I gotta like reassess. And I've reassessed probably 100 million times. I will again, 100 million times. So have you worked out your Facebook strategy?
Yes, I am. Maybe you can help with this. I'm going to get rid of my, like my Jamie Ivy, here's a person you find. Like, I don't even know what to call that. Like, because I'm capped at the friend. Like, this is so weird. This is an awkward conversation. I'm capped at the friends. Does that make sense? So I have a page.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah.
No, I don't know these people. Like, you know what I mean? But I have a page and I'm just going to go to that because it'll keep me from like endless scrolling of reading people's things that I don't even know these people. And so that to me is where I just am like, I just wasted 25 minutes reading about someone's Christmas tree. I've never met this person. I don't know them. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like empty. It feels empty.
I love, you know, I quit Facebook about
totally, completely.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have no personal page.
That's what I'm about to do.
Okay. Smart. And my business page is kind of a cop out. I mean, it is what it is. Whatever.
So it's why'd you quit?
You know, I found myself buying a lot of things I didn't need.
Oh, yeah.
And it was information I didn't want to receive. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of scrolling, a lot of time wasting. I think for the reason that everybody does. Also, I had a weird, like, privacy encounter where long story, I felt unsafe in it.
Oh, really?
So, I did. And
like someone was stalking you?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So that's something that we like, I feel like people don't think about, but we don't like share our kids' real names online. We don't share their faces much. Like, we don't really show close-ups where you can see like we're very choosy about the photos. Because I'm like, well, you know, I guess we're not 100% safe.
That's
all
so
the time,
crazy.
Which we think.
So the name that you write of your daughter in the book is not her real name?
No, it's not.
Wow.
It's a nickname. I know.
And the name you told me your son is not his real name?
No. Liar. Yeah.
Well, I love both of them.
It is
so
nickname. They're
I'm
both
just saying,
nicknames.
Like, I love those names.
Oh, yeah. They're great names. And they're nicknames and they mean something, but it's something like our kids would never really like if someone else were to call them those names,
they would not
be like, red flag.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
good
just
for you.
Something.
And I have a lot of people who have kind of encountered and walked that road as well. And I think all of us think, oh, that just doesn't really happen to real people. And then you tell me, yes, it does.
It's so weird. Yeah, it's unsettling.
It's crazy.
And I get it. We feel like we know people.
Yes.
We really do.
Yeah.
You know, like we feel like, I feel like I know everything about you.
Well, and that's what people say to me all the time. They're like, it's weird that I feel like I know you. And I'm like, okay, it's not weird because I say it out loud for thousands of people to listen to. So I'm welcoming you in. But I think people also have to remember whatever you know about someone from online is only what they want you to know about them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I say that all the time. There's so much that you don't know about me unless you're like, you're in my life every day. You know, we have lunch together. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's that
and
thing
I find
to internet.
Myself, I think we're drawn to the kind of people as well that we, like I tend to not follow people online if I've never met them in real life, which I just was talking to a girlfriend and she's like, well, that's weird. But I don't know. I think it's just that I want, maybe it's that I feel like I'm very guarded and two-dimensional online. And so I tend to assume that everyone else is. And so I don't know.
Well, it also goes really back to what you said earlier about what are you bringing in? You know, like, is it material that you don't need to be investing and in like ingesting every day? And so that's a good thing to think about, you know? If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually-led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. You guys, in January of 2024, I made a commitment to myself. I wanted to get stronger, which meant I needed to get in the gym, which means I needed to move my body in different ways. You guys know I love to walk. Well, it's spring, and spring is the best time for us to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, to tap into your power, and build towards your summer you. I love my Peloton. It accommodates to my schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. I can choose a 30-minute class. I can choose a 45-minute class. If you only have 5 minutes, there's literally a class to get you moving your body in 5 minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and every mood. There are classes if you want to hear country music, if you want to hear rock, if you want to go back to the 80s. If you can't run, take a walking class. Need some grounding? Try yoga. If you want to level up, go for their Pilates or HIIT workouts. Here's what I love is that you can move at your own pace. And that is what I'm learning that my body needs right now. It needs to move at its own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take all the guesswork out of working out. You guys, we think about so many things during the day. Let's take the guesswork out. Let's jump right in and let's keep our fitness journey fresh every single day. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. I personally love a good 45-minute hip-hop class. It gets me moving. It gets me excited. It's my favorite genre of music, just ask my kids. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Hey guys, before we get back to my conversation with Aaron, I want to thank our partner for today's show, and that is Africa New Life Ministries. Africa New Life Ministries exists to help children escape the cycle of poverty in Rwanda. Did you know that 38% of Rwandan children suffer from malnutrition? That is crazy. The key to this intervention is to making sure that children receive the food that they need to succeed. Consistent, nutritious food is vital for children to not only have healthy bodies, but to also learn, grow, and thrive. Food is the first essential in establishing stability. Children in Rwanda who know hunger, they understand that food is a difference between life and death, but they also notice small things about food that we take for granted. Food gives you energy to learn and to pray in school. You can climb trees and play soccer. You can fetch water. But without food, none of this is possible. Guys, you could partner with Africa New Life to help them get food into these Rwandan children. Go to foodisrwanda.org, and for 83 cents a meal, you can provide the gift of food for these children. Again, it's foodisrwanda.org. Okay, here is the rest of my conversation with Aaron. Okay, can I read a part of your book out loud?
Oh, all the listeners?
Yeah. This is my favorite thing to do when I have a book that I absolutely adore, and yours I do. And so this was one of my favorite little pieces that you wrote in here. And first, I just want to tell you, I really like your writing style. So
Thank you. I really like it.
I like the short chapters, the way that you describe stuff, the way that you go back and forth in a story between different pieces of your life. I just loved it. So I'm a fan.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to read this. Are you ready?
Yes.
But I'm going to come to you when I don't know how to say a certain word.
So here okay. we go.
I already read part of it, but it says this. I do not yet realize that without grace, pursuing the slow life is just as exhausting as pursuing the fast one. Without grace, minimalism is another metric for perfection. Chasing slow is still a chase. My friend Mai once told me about, what is it?
Oh, kintsugi.
Kintsugi, a Japanese tradition in which pottery is repaired with a metallic-infused liquette. Kintsugi means to patch with gold in this technique. The potter mends a bowl in delicate, sweeping strokes, taking no care to hide the crack. There are no clear coats. There is no blending. There is no attempt at concealing what has occurred. Instead, the crack is illuminated with gold, with respect, with observance. And then it is pieced together, not to be made new, but to be changed. The break itself is the beauty. The crack is worthy of gold. Can you imagine? Kintsugi celebrates failures in a way I am still learning to do, in a way I am only beginning to understand. Before failure, we are but bowls. But after failure, after the bad day, the lunchroom, the fight with your husband, the spinach in your teeth, we have been changed. We have a gilded scar to prove it. Isn't it beautiful? Doesn't it shine? Our culture is prone to concealing what is. We applaud women for making a speedy return to pre-pregnancy jeans after giving birth. We cover evidence of teenage acne with a $34 BB cream. We have become expert under the rug sweepers in marriage and in work and parenting and in life. Under the rug sweeping is the default. And then you go on and you talk about how this, she talks to you about how we are, you know, the crack shows and that's what it is. And I've read that and it was beautiful because it made me think about things in my life that have been quote unquote failures or brokenness and the scars that they have and how so many times I wish that I could just show perfection. And instead I have the scar or I have this thing I've walked through and instead let's show who we became because of that. That's what it made me think of. And I just love that you put that in there.
Thank you. It's such a beautiful, a tangible metaphor for me. And I have that bowl that is pictured in the book. And it's in my entryway just as a reminder to also accept the cracks in other people. Mm-hmm. Like, because not everybody is skilled at hiding them. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I have come to think of it as the people with more cracks on the surface are actually probably a little further along in their journey than I am because they've accepted it or they just maybe are not ashamed anymore. And so they're not pretending. And I always think, I think the reason that it was so hard for me to accept failure is because it felt like so contradictory to everything that I believe, you know, I believe in striving and I believe in betterment. And it, at the same time, learning that everyone else is just a ball of contradictions as well was so freeing for me because then I could be one too, you know, I can be one too because that is just the standard at this point. We just are fallen people.
Right. And don't you feel like when you meet someone and, you know, using this, you know, analogy with the bowl and you meet this bowl of a person and you can actually see the brokenness in them and they're not hiding it, but they're also not ashamed of it. Don't you feel as though you think I can connect with this person in a way that's a little bit easier because she wears her brokenness in a way that I'm still learning to do.
Yeah. Yes. And it's not that person isn't strong enough or that they're like complaining or they're negative or whatever. I just met a girlfriend for coffee and our kids were running around and it was whatever. And it was the typical, like, how you doing thing. She's like, I'm weary. Mm-hmm. And that was her response. I'm weary. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, amen. Somebody said it. Who isn't worried? Right. That's great. Yeah. I'm so happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. But not. Mm-hmm. I hope that you're not. Yeah. It's funny just that how we, and I always wonder if, I mean, we are literally filtering our pictures for other people to see. Like, what is that doing to our brains? Mm-hmm. I mean, something's happening there.
No, I thought about that the other day. I thought about when I started on Instagram and like 7 people were my friends that were following me, right? It was like this scrapbook of my family and every cute thing my kids did, I put up because I was going to make a book and it was just for me. And then, you know, thousands of followers later, I think about every single picture I put up is, will these thousands of people like this? And I thought to myself, who am I taking these pictures for? Like, this kind of happened along the same time as Aaron grabbed my shoulder. I mean, a lot, you can tell what I'm working through in my life right now. And I just thought, who am I taking these pictures for? Mm-hmm. And it was then that I thought, I'm going to start taking these pictures again for me. Like, that's who I want to take these pictures for me. But yeah, this is a part of our life. I remember, speaking of brokenness, this is an example that you shared about your friend being weary. This is an example of, we were having dinner with some new friends and we were enjoying a glass of wine. And I said, hey, do you not like wine? Is that not why you're having any? We were at a dinner at a nice restaurant. And she said, oh, I'm an alcoholic. And I thought, oh, wow. Like that was, she's like, she didn't have to say that, right? She could just said, no, I'm good.
Totally.
But she just like laid it all out on the table. And she wasn't ashamed. She wasn't embarrassed. She was just matter of factly, here's one of my brokenness. And here's, mm-hmm. and then we got to talk about it and all that God's doing in her life in spite and because and through her brokenness. And I just thought, that is how I want to be. Like, oh, I'm weary, you know.
With no explanation necessary. You know what right. I mean? Like, no, just this is what is right now. Mm-hmm. Here's the crack. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just call it gold.
Yes.
You know? Like, I am.
That's the part that's so beautiful is they paint it gold.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I love it because it's a part of our story now.
Yeah. And we're all broken people. I mean, we entered this world as broken people. We're broken people. We all need Jesus, all of us. Mm-hmm. And so let's just call it what it is. I'm broken.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're broken. Everything's broken. Okay, Erin, new baby.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. He's so cute.
So 4.5-year-old and like 2-month-old. Is that what you're dealing with?
He is. He's 4.5 months old. Same birthday. Well, okay. Same birthday-ish. 2 days apart. But yeah. He's 4.5 months old. He's teething. I don't sleep anymore. It's crazy. There's so much coffee in this house.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you guys? Okay. So we had our first child was biological and then our second child joined our family through adoption like yours. Did you nurse your first child? Your daughter?
I did.
Okay, so me too. I nursed my first child. And so then our second child comes along. And all of a sudden I'm like, hey, we both get to feed this baby in the middle of the night.
Uh-huh.
This is awesome. So I remember that was one of my most favorite things. And I was like, I remember us playing rock, paper, scissors in the middle of the night of who's getting up, who's doing this. Whereas first baby, you know, it's on me, right? I'm the one with the milk. So how has second baby besides bottles been different?
Oh, it's just, and I have a theory that if you think your first kid was hard, your second kid's easy. If you think your
it's
first
just
kid
the opposite.
Was easy, your second kid's hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought my first baby was so hard because she was breaking me down, really.
Yeah.
She had to break down a lot of selfishness in me. For, you know, I mean, I had to make room.
Yeah.
And so, this is not that. He's also super dreamboat. He laughs and smiles literally all day long, even when he wakes you up in the middle of the night, like because he's teething.
Aww.
He's like laughing at you. It's the sweetest. So you
like,
can't be mad at him, right?
You can't be mad
like,
or frustrated because he's just so dang cute.
He's
and smiling.
So happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the sweetest boy. So anyway, I love that. It's just things feel more family unit oriented. Like it's not just two parents and a kid.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter is super obsessed with him and is just going with the flow in a really great way. I love that I don't have to wear nursing clothes. I love that that it's so much easier to pass him around. He feels like more of a community baby. We did the whole attachment nesting thing too. Like we were pretty stern on that. Like we're still at that phase where nobody else can feed him or change him or meet any of his basic needs.
Right.
But other than that, like he just is held 24/7 by someone. He's just a community baby. It's been awesome. And also I feel like he was such, I didn't have time to overprepare. He was such a surprise that I didn't spend like 9 months ruminating about how life was going to change. And so he's just, if it makes sense, I'm not keeping track of him. I'm not like measuring him like I did with my first or measuring myself by what he's doing. It's a total, I feel like this separation that exists between me as a person and me as a mother and me as his mother. And it's feels so much healthier than when I was so wrapped up in how am I doing? Am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? Am I doing this right?
So what changed this time?
I mean, I think I just know that I'm not going to do it right.
You're changed. Right? Yeah. So, yeah.
Totally. I'm 100% changed. Yeah. And there's none of the like postpartum hormones. Yeah. That's helpful.
Yeah.
But I'm not freaking out all the time.
There's also just that second child thing where you're like, I know that this is going to be okay. I know that you kind of know what's ahead. Whereas with your first kid, you're just kind of thrown in with the wolves.
You really are. Yeah. And you are constantly like, I feel like I was always watching the clock, like for something, 3-hour feedings or 2-hour naps, or when is this season over? I hate it. Like there were parts of it that I just did not love at all.
Or what are they supposed to be doing now? Oh my gosh, she's not doing this. And exactly. You know, that's really hard with your first kid. Really hard.
It was. I was so prone to that. Like, because really you're measuring your child's progress to measure your own. And exactly. So I just wanted to make sure I was doing a good job, which I wasn't when I was freaking out all the time. So
isn't it funny how much unknown pressure we put on our kids? Like, not really pressure, but we're putting pressure on them to be something so that we are something in a weird way.
Exactly. So we feel better.
Yeah. Like, I'm a good mom if this happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually standards that don't matter and that some of them we can't ever meet, you know?
And, you know, I remember my husband travels away for work. Actually, both of us do. We kind of do single parenting a lot, which has been a really great balance for us, actually. But, I remember when B was like 2.5 in that hard stage, and he called. We don't check in when the other one's out of town because it's just
we're
easier.
We're like that too. We just,
it's
yeah.
so much easier because we're gone, it's like, I can't really help you.
Exactly.
but he checked in for a question and he was just like, well, how's your day? Whatever. And I immediately went into like, oh, well, B did this and then she did this. And then I just, oh, just like the worst day. And he's like, no, but I asked how your day was, not how her day was. Oh. And I'm like, oh, our days are different.
Mm.
Like her day was different than mine, you know, and they don't have to be, my day doesn't have to be dependent on her behavior. My attitude doesn't have to be dependent on her attitude. And it was so illuminating for me to see that. And I've kind of parented from a different place ever since, I would say. That was a big shift for me.
That's really good, even for me parenting an 11-year-old. Like, Aaron's out of town this week, and we've had a hard week with one of our kids. And what you just said, a light bulb just went off. My day and mood has been determined by his.
Yeah. Which, not, I mean, they...
There is some truth in that sometimes, but also, I'm letting everything determine on that.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to think on that today, Aaron.
Do it. I mean, they can't even like make their own dinner. We can't let them dictate our life.
Right.
But it's true. Yeah, it was a really beautiful realization for me.
Okay.
And it's a work in progress. It's really hard to change your mind and to just choose your attitude regardless of your circumstance. But it's been a good test.
That's good.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Aaron, what are 3 things you're loving these days?
Oh my gosh, Jamie, listen. So I knew you were going to ask me this, and then I was in the shower thinking about it, and I literally came up with
everything that's in your shower. Like, that's where you were. You're like, totally. I love this new shampoo.
Uh-huh. Well, okay. So it's December and we always burn Mrs. Meyer Iowa Pine scent candle.
Okay.
Do you know that candle?
No.
Okay. Well, so
What is Iowa Pine?
It's just like this Iowa Pine scent. It's Mrs. Meyer brand.
It's Christmassy. Is that like?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But it's like not fake Christmas tree-ish. It doesn't overpower. It doesn't give you a headache. It's a soy candle. It's a Target Just, mm-hmm. and I actually, I get mine online because I'm lazy. I don't shop in real life ever.
I don't either. No, good thing.
Why? Why would you do that to yourself?
Because I spend more money too when I shop in line. Uh-huh. I mean, like in person.
In real life.
Yeah,
me
in real
too.
Life. Yeah.
So I can't remember the last time I've actually stepped foot in a Target. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. Candied pecans, we've been making a lot lately.
Oh, you make them.
Oh, I make mine on a skillet because I'm even too lazy for like the pan washing. So I just, I toast them on a skillet and then I add like a vanilla bean ghee to it. And then, or ghee, I don't know how you pronounce that.
I always say ghee.
I do too.
But I don't know.
And then I went to India and they're like, it's ghee, but I didn't know if that was a lost in translation or whatever. Anyway,
right. Yeah.
Then I add like, after like the ghee, then I put in maple syrup, like a ton of it, and then some like cinnamon or ginger or cloves or whatever I feel like. I mean, I'm not a recipe person.
You don't have this written down anywhere? You just throw it together?
I do. And it always like has to accompany a certain playlist. I'm weird in the kitchen.
This is the best. Yeah.
Yeah. It's anything goes. And usually they burn, but then it's more fun when they don't burn because it's like, surprise, this tastes good this time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Third thing, slippers. I am literally, I'm wearing these. My grandma passed me down these old Japanese like felt slippers, and they don't make your feet smell, or at least her feet did not smell ever because they don't smell.
And this was the pair that she wore?
Yeah, so I am.
These things have a good lifetime.
I'm like, why don't they smell? And how don't they have mothballs? Right. I don't understand that.
Right.
So they must be magical because they've lasted her for like X amount of years.
The
and
magic
now
slippers.
Yeah. So I don't know the brand or anything. They're just like a felt wool situation.
Do you like to be barefoot?
No, I'm cold all the time.
I hate to be barefoot. Like, I think it's gross. Not gross.
It is kind of gross.
Like, people that walk outside barefoot, like on grass or concrete or rocks, it hurts my skin. Like, I cannot be barefoot.
Really?
Yeah.
It feels so good, but it is gross if you think about
me.
It.
It's not, I said gross, but I just really meant like, it makes me feel gross. Like, I cannot handle my feet on stuff.
Like, that is so funny.
I know. And I don't like to be barefoot inside either. Like, I'll either put shoes on because I don't like.
Always.
Or socks. Socks are fine too.
Okay. That's interesting.
I know, but I don't really wear socks in real life unless I'm wearing tennis shoes. And so I have socks that I just wear around the house.
And you wear your socks with your tennis shoes?
If I'm at home, I can just wear socks and I'm fine. I cannot be barefoot.
That is so interesting.
I know.
Me.
I don't like that at all.
Huh. I love barefoot. Yeah, but I get cold. So it's like socks all the time.
Yeah. Okay. So what are you reading?
Okay. I am rereading Franny and Zoe Salinger. I love that book. I read it probably every year.
Oh, I love hearing people reread books because I don't ever do that, but.
Oh my gosh, I don't do it often, but I'll do it for like a short read. I always do it for that one. Or like Mary Oliver, I'll reread. Joan Didion, I am always rereading. I'm so obsessed with her.
Which one do you love? Because I've only read one of hers and I did not, everyone in my book club loved it except for me.
Was it Year of Magical Thinking that you read?
I think so. Is that the one where she goes through her husband's illness?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a hard one to read. And that's not my favorite either.
Okay, maybe I should try a different one.
Do it. Try Blue Nights.
Okay.
It's equally sad and a little morbid. I'm a morbid person, though.
I'm not against that. I am kind of, too, sometimes, especially, like, my friend Noelle makes fun of the books I read. I like to read memoirs, people who've been through, like, hell and back. And so she's always like,
too.
I can't believe you're reading those things. But I like them a lot.
I do, too. Okay, Blue Nights. Read that one. That was my fave. It's about her daughter. It's sad as well, but it's just a really beautiful like mother-daughter portrait of I think it was really honest scope, or as honest as you can be when you're looking at yourself. I just picked up A Mile Wide from the library yesterday.
Yes, good book.
I love it. Yeah, I'm only on like chapter two.
Good.
It's really, really great.
I liked it as well. Yes, good stuff. That's awesome. So,
that's it. That's what I'm reading.
Do you read like at home on your couch?
Oh, I'm like a nightstand bed reader at the end of the night. But lately I haven't been sleeping, so I'm not in my bed ever.
Yeah,
so I haven't been reading as much. Yeah, I miss it. But if I need to read just one book, what should it be like right now?
From me, what am I telling you?
Yeah.
What should you read? Well, do you like fiction books? You need a fiction in your life? No, you don't like fiction.
I don't. No, I need like give me like a good, you know what I need? I need like a short essay based.
Did you read She Reads Truth?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I loved it too.
I also read it in Mexico with your book. I loved, that's the kind of book I like as well. Like both of y'all wrote like memoir type. That's my favorite kind of book.
Me too. I should reread that one because I think it was in a weird place when I read it. Yeah, that was a good
They did a great job. Super proud of them, you know, like in a weird way.
I love them.
I know.
Yes.
Let's see. What else? I'm trying to look through the things that I have read. I'm going to have to just get back with you on that because I'm trying to think of like short, like memoir type books that are really, really good like that.
I already read Falling Free, Shanna Martin, which
good.
I loved.
Yes, great loved. Book. Yes.
And Wild in the Hollow, loved. Good. That was the first episode I ever listened to you was Amber.
It
was so sweet. I loved her voice.
Did you read Wild and Free?
Uh-huh. Love those girls.
Okay, so if you like a memoir that's kind of can be sad, I read a book called Rare Bird.
Thank you. Yes, I want that. I want to read that.
I read it a couple of years ago, and it's a hard read. It's sad. A mom, she loses a child, which my friend Noelle is like, I cannot believe you read books like that. But for me, it's something about like seeing someone walk, kind of like what we were talking about, walk through that with the suffering and then make it on the other side. And although a lot of these people would be like, my life is never the same. And I'm so sad about this, but like God is still here and he's still good. And, you know, he hasn't left us. So,
I love. Okay. Yes. And the perspective that you gain from reading about that I just always feel such a sense of.
Yeah. And I think just like the more you surround people with who have been through different circumstances, it starts to not feel so scary and crazy, if that makes sense.
It does.
I feel like that with my show. I've interviewed a couple of women who've lost their husbands, and that's like one of my greatest fears. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now if I talk about it, oh God, I hope that does not happen to me for 50 more years, right? But I see these women who they survived and, you know, God is still faithful to them. All the, you know what I'm saying? Like I've just seen their stories. So I love a story.
Yes. Rare Bird. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then 828. Also, that's a good one too. Larissa Murphy wrote that. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good one too. Okay. Lots of stuff. Erin, so thankful that you came on the happy hour.
I love the happy hour. Thank you for having me.
You finished out 2016 for me.
Oh, I'm so honored.
Oh, that's so fun.
We'll have to sing Auld Lang Syne. Just kidding. I don't sing ever.
I don't sing either, but we can pretend and people can act like we are.
Okay.
I really thank you so much. And I'm so excited about your book coming out January 10th.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it because it's beautiful. I mean,
I can
only imagine how beautiful it's going to be because I have a paperback and it's still beautiful. So excited
thank
about
you.
Your book coming out. Everyone pre-order it. And I'll tell everyone how they can do that in the show notes. So, Erin, have a great day today.
You too. Thank you, Jamie.
Yay. Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, guys. Wasn't that a great chat with Erin? It might have seemed like a small counseling session for me, but gosh, approval is such a hard thing for us women. And trying to figure it out and walk through it and stand in our approval from God and God alone. I know that many of you are going to relate to the conversation that we have, and I hope that you're encouraged by it today. Today's show is edited by Logan Garza, and the music is from Jason Poe. Hey guys, next week is the very first show of 2017. I honestly am really looking forward to 2017, and I know that we're going to have so much fun on the happy hour. You're going to love our first show of the year, so look forward to listening from that. If you haven't subscribed, you're going to want to because you want to get these shows in your device that you listen to podcasts to every time they're available. Super easy to subscribe. Just go to jamieivy.com/iTunes. Okay, guys, enjoy your final days of 2016. I'd love to hear from you if you had a favorite show from this year. Send me a message and let me know. But guys, enjoy your week. Share the show with a girlfriend and have a happy hour with a friend. And I will see you next time in 2017.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt Collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.